Now, if you were watching Sky Sports or if you had been on the BBC Sport website yesterday, you've probably seen that 11-year-old Celtic fan Jay Beattie from Lurgan, who has Down syndrome, won the Scottish Premier League goal of the month. Jay took a penalty at halftime when Celtic were away to Hamilton a few weeks ago. He scored the penalty. He was nominated for goal of the month, and he won the award by a landslide by 97%. We've got Jay's father on the line, Martin. Martin, good morning.
Good morning.
Martin, how does it feel? How does Jay feel? I seen a video on YouTube actually last night. He was ecstatic. This is a great story.
It is. It's a lovely story. Yeah, it's with some of the stories it's about with in the news at the moment. It's a very feel good story, and it started a few years back, and it's just sort of snowballed since then. And him actually receiving an award for a goal of the month was, you know, it's exceptional. It's just something that you just don't dream of stuff like this. It's just so far out. But it was it's very, very moving, and it's a lovely story. Yeah.
And this is how Jay received the award yesterday from his hero.
Yeah, my friend. Me and you are the same now, scoring goals. I'm very happy to announce you that you won the goal of the month. Well done, Paul. Great job. I miss you and I love you. See you, Jay.
Georgie Samaras, Martin, he's become a good friend of Jay's over the years.
He has, yes. It sort of stemmed from one of the games. Jay's Celtic daft. His whole life revolves around Celtic. And he watched a Celtic Rangers game at home here in Lurgan, and Samaras scored two goals. It was at Ibrox, and Samaras dived into the crowd after he scored his first goal. And when Jay was sitting watching, he was just sitting on the mat or the cupboard or the rug watching it, and he was in just disbelief. He couldn't believe, you know, he was so happy, but couldn't believe the excitement and the joy in people's faces. And it just, you know, that was his favourite player. And then 2 or 3 years ago, Celtic played Cliftonville in Belfast. That was for the Champions League qualifier, and Jay was invited down and was allowed to get onto the pitch to train the team the night before the match. And he was over at Samaras, and since then they've built up a really good friendship. And then last season, it sort of just went, at the end of last season, it just went really through the roof when Samaras picked him out of the crowd and took him on the lap of honour in the last game of the season at Celtic Park. So yeah, they've become very good friends. And, you know, Samaras is a very, very good footballer. He's an international football star. Jay is a wee 11-year-old boy with special needs from Lurgan, so they're worlds apart. But, you know, Samaras does think the world of them, and likewise
and
with Jay.
Jay got the title winning medal last year, did he, as well?
He did, yes. Neil Lennon, who was the manager of Celtic at the time. Neil Lennon's actually from Lurgan, and about a year or 6 months before that, Neil Lennon asked Jay to come down to his mother's house. He was over visiting his mum in Lurgan, and Jay went down and sung for him, and they had become good friends. And just, we were in the front row of the stadium, 60,000 people, and Neil Lennon was walking past with his medal around his neck and just caught Jay on the side of his, he'd actually passed us, and the noise in the stadium, you know, he couldn't, it was just a sea of green and white, and the noise, he didn't pick us out. And then he just sort of turned around and caught Jay's eye, and then he came over, and I thought, God, he's coming over to say hello to Jay. And the next minute, the medal was coming off, and he handed it to Jay, and it was just, I was sort of in shell shock. And then just, you don't have time to think, because there's big sky cameras in your face, and you're going like, this is not meant to happen. But it was beautiful. It was really nice.
And you were saying too, when Samaras picked Jay out of the crowd, I remember seeing the videos of that, and the delight on his face was just, it was heartwarming.
It was, yeah. You know, it's a lovely story. And Jay, you know, Jay's whole life is just about Celtic. You know, Jay doesn't play with toys. Jay doesn't read any other books. You know, well, Jay's reading is not the greatest, but he would sit with the Celtic View. He gets programmes from every match. There's always somebody that would bring him a programme home, and he will go through that programme with a fine tooth comb. He'd watch Celtic permanently on the TV and on his iPad. So just to have that done, you know, as heroes, it's just fantastic. They don't need to do that. Footballers sometimes don't get a very good reputation. But Celtic Football Club, you know, people only see what's on the videos and what's on the Facebook and things like that. But that is only a small, small percentage of what Glasgow Celtic Football Club have done for Jay and for other children with disabilities and Down syndrome as a whole.
Now, he's Celtic mad, but last year's World Cup, he was also cheering on his hero, Georgi Samaras, playing for Greece. And was there a story going around that Samaras actually offered the Flyies over to Brazil?
Yeah, that's true. We had Ireland wasn't in the World Cup, and so Ajay would be supporting Ireland, and then he would be supporting Northern Ireland, and then he would be supporting Scotland or any other team or somebody who had a Celtic player in the team. But naturally, Greece was in it, and Samaras scored the penalty, I think, to take them into the last 16 of the World Cup. And I just happened to video his reaction of him seeing the penalty. It was the last kick of the ball, and I videoed it, and I just showed it up to my friends on Facebook, which, you know, was only 300 or 400 people. That was fine. That was the day before we went on holidays. And I knew when I got up the next morning, we were going on our holidays and to Boston and or to America, and we were flying into Boston. And I knew there was something wrong because my phone was bleeping all the time. And everybody was saying about Jay and the video, and I said, oh God, he's very popular today. And when I got on to when we got arrived in Dublin Airport, there was 3 or 4 phone calls from Greek press asking about Jay. And the Greeks had just absolutely loved Jay since Samaras gave him the medal. But this time it was really, really crazy. And we got onto the plane, and we were boarded first, and we got onto the plane, and I actually put my seatbelt on, and the wife and children had the seatbelts on, and the phone rung again, and I said, look, I better answer this phone here. I thought it was somebody from my work. And it was the Greek Football Federation thanking me for showing up the video, and that Jay was the biggest star in Greece at the moment and had brought such a feel-good to the country. And they were asking, could they fly us that night to London, and then from London to Brazil for the World Cup. So I was sitting on the plane, and I said, like, you're not going to believe this. The lady was saying to everybody, we're going to push back, please turn off your phone. And I had to say, I'm on the plane and I'm going to Boston. And the guy was totally devastated, not as devastated as I was, but he just says, like, please, can they? They asked us to fly to Boston, and there were flights from North America down to South America, but, you know, it would have been far too much for Jay to do that. We had to just decline it and say, look, we're very sorry. But they did say, like, they would organise something because to see meet again, and then that's where the Sports Personality of the Year award come about.
It's a great story, and I suppose this penalty against Hamilton, just go through it for us, Martin.
Jay sitting beside me here, so I have to be careful what I say. Jay had asked Santa for Celtic stuff. Unfortunately, Santa has, over the years, has brought every Celtic stuff that there is, that they have, Jay has it. And Santa was stuck, so Jay asked that he would like to go to an away game, because he'd never been to an away game, he's always been to Celtic Park. So Hamilton Football Club, Hamilton FC, got wind that we were looking to go to an away game, and they sent a letter from Santa and Hamilton saying that he could go for the day and they would provide tickets. So it was just a beautiful letter, and it was a lovely gesture. So we got our plane, we flew to Glasgow, and we went to the match. And I thought it was going to be a very special day because the managing director met us at the as we were going through the doors of the stadium, and they gave us our dinner, and then when we took really good seats, and then they said, there's at half time, would you like to go on to the pitch and do the half time draw? So we couldn't believe it, and we went on to the pitch, and everybody was clapping, and you could hear them shouting Jay and things like that. And then they said, look, would you like to take a goal? So I said, yeah, of course he would, and he went away up and he scored. And, you know, his reaction after the goal was fantastic, but to hear, it was the biggest attendance ever in Hamilton Football Club's history, but to hear everyone, and that would include the Hamilton fans, which you couldn't see on any of the videos, they were in the main stand, but every one of them was chanting his name. There's only one Jay Beattie, or we love you Jay. And, you know, for a father, that's, you know, a Celtic supporter, that is something that, you know, it was very, very hard to take in, and very hard to, you know, to get my head around. It was just beautiful. And then we didn't know, you know, we just, that's great. It was all over the internet. JBD scored for Celtic, and then Hamilton announced that it wasn't a 2-0 win to Celtic. It was actually a 3-0 win, and they recorded that Hamilton FC recorded the goal as a goal in the 45th plus 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was it. You know, it was a really feel-good story. We just thought it was brilliant. And then 2 weeks ago, I was in work, and I got a message sent saying, have you seen this? And I opened up the message, and there was a goal of the month, and it came, went through all the goals, and I didn't, and then I seen Jay's video coming up. So I actually thanked my mate and said, look, that is brilliant. How did you do that? And he said, well, you know, he didn't know what I was talking about. And I, he said, well, how, I said, how did you do that? And he said, well, I didn't do anything. I thought he had photoshopped this in or done something with it.
Right.
He said, no, this is legitimate. And I went, you're kidding me. And then I went on to the SPFL's website, and there it was up. And just at that, I had an email from them saying, look, we were putting Jay, it's such a feel good story. It's the first time that this will have ever happened in any World Football League. Not a non-professional footballer, never mind a wee boy, will be up for a goal of the month. And I just said, like, I looked at all the goals, and there are some beautiful goals, and there's some world-class goals, and, you know, Jay has been put in there as a feel-good story, and I just thought that maybe he would get a few votes, and that was it. But then it just went crazy, it went absolutely crazy, and I think it's now 470,000 people have viewed the video, and he won by 97% yesterday on Sky Sports News, and it's been televised, or it's been reported from India to CNN News last night, and USA Today newspaper has it, and all the Irish and Scottish papers. So it's, yeah, for me, I don't know. I just don't believe it half the time. I never slept a wink last night. It just goes through my head. But you know, this is a wee boy who we just wanted to be for people to treat with a wee bit of respect, and because of his Down syndrome, and try and remove stigmas and barriers that were sort of in place. But little did we know this was going to happen.
And he must be over the moon with winning this award. I seen the video on YouTube, like I said last night, and he's a happy boy.
He is. He's very happy. He's he watched it, and it takes him a wee split second for it to sink into him. But he could not believe that he had won. Now, just one of the things that the difference about Jay is, when we first showed him the day that was put onto the SPFL's page, we come home and we put it up on the computer and said, watch this, and he went through all the goals, and naturally Glasgow Celtic is his favourite football team, and Michael Lustig was in, and Michael Lustig scored a cracker goal for Celtic, and then Jay came on, and we were looking, and I said, right, Jay, well, who are we going to vote for? And he says, oh, we'll have to vote for Lustig. And I went, well, what about yourself? And he says, yeah, my goal was good, but Lustig's was better. So we were. So
he didn't even want to vote for himself.
No, he didn't vote for himself. We had to go on. We did. We voted twice. I don't know if you're allowed to do that there, but we voted for Jay, and but we didn't tell him that we voted for Jay. Wanted to vote for Lustig, but there was people on the website going 97% for Jay. Who was the other 3% that didn't vote for him? And I'm sitting going, oh my God, it was us. You know, we voted for another player, but that's just Jay. He just didn't realise the significance of it. Is just anything to do with Celtic, and that's him. He just loves them so much.
It's a great story. There's some people texting into us here, Martin. People don't realise how much Celtic do for children. My son had a stroke. Neil Lennon brought him over to a game and was so generous to him. Hi, I've just been watching the videos of Jay Beattie at the Celtic v Hamilton game. It just makes fantastic viewing. I'm so impressed with the Celtic and Hamilton teams and Georgie Samaras. What an amazing, kind person. Someone else is texting, what did Jay say to the president of Barcelona?
Jay, at the present of Bar, Jay was given a sports award in Barcelona 2 weeks ago, and we travelled to Spain, to Barcelona for this big gala night, gala event, and all the most rich and famous people of Barcelona was there, and us four from Lurgan, so it was hard to fit in, and but Jay seemed to be the number one person there, and he was brought on stage. But the president of Barcelona Football Club just fell in love with him. We had Jay in an Irish kilt and his bow tie, and he looked the part. And the president of Barcelona just could not get over this wee boy, and he asked us to stay on. And he said, "Look, can you stay on to Wednesday night because Barcelona's playing Villarreal? You can train with the team on the Tuesday, and also we will." you can be our guests at the game. So this was all through an interpreter. When I was being told this, I was going, God, this is great. But in the back of my head was going, well, what about my work in the children's school? And like, how do we, what do we do here? And changing flights and things like that. I didn't know what to say. And then he asked Jay, and the camera people were there, and he asked Jay, and Jay straight away said, thank you, but we can't because Celtic's playing Partick Thistle on Wednesday night, and I have to go home and watch it in Sky Sports 1. So the guy was interpreted to the present, and he just smiled and hugged Jay and told Jay that he'd go home and that's what a true fan is, and that he will invite him back over to watch a match. You know, I didn't know what to say. My face dropped, but Jay just wanted to go home to watch Celtic be Partick Thistle instead of...
We know where his loyalties lie, anyway.
His loyalties lie at the East End of Glasgow.
He's Celtic through and through. Suppose, can you put Jay on to congratulate him?
Again, and just one wee thing, we actually got through the post there yesterday, the Sons of Donegal Celtic Supporters Club in Glasgow. They're quite a well-known Celtic supporters club. Actually sent us a half Celtic scarf and half Donegal scarf. So we've just got that there in through the door yesterday, so he's delighted with that.
Brilliant. It's a great story. Suppose we can say to Jay, congratulations.
Do you want to speak to him here?
Yeah,
you're Jay.
Well.
Hi, Jay. How are you doing?
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Well done on winning your SPL Goal of the Month award. You must be over the moon.
Yeah, I am.
And it was a great message. Your favourite player left you, Georgie Samaras.
Yeah, like, you know, it's brilliant. They love him by my heart.
And it was a good penalty you hit. It was a good penalty. Well done in the crowd. You enjoy the celebrations.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so Martin, Jay, thanks for joining us on the show. And I suppose there's only one way to end this interview.
Thank you.
We'll have to play the crowd cheering Jay Beattie's name at the Hamilton game. Martin and Jay Beattie, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the weekend edition. Some text messages coming in congratulating Jay and Martin Beattie. What a great story that is. Now on the show, we're joined by John Callaghan and his mum, Margaret. Margaret and John, good morning. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Good morning, Barry. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, not a problem. Suppose a lot of people may have seen the Donegal news recently and seen John's story. It's touched the hearts of a lot of people. It's made national news. It's made world headlines. I suppose, just tell us John's story first of all. He's an Irish dancing enthusiast, but he was bullied.
That's right, Barry. John was bullied from September 2013 to October 2014. John was an Irish dancing enthusiast. He lived for his Irish dancing. He danced for 5 years and he danced in Feshes all over Ireland. John, if you just want to tell about the Feshes.
I've been doing Feshes for a long time, and I would have been up with the higher positions if not first a load of times. And when the bullying would have been going on, my position started going down and down. So I started losing interest in it.
So it stopped you from doing what you loved?
Yeah.
And I suppose why did it stop you? It was just taking over your life? So was it getting you down?
Yeah, it made me didn't really want to care anymore. I just made me lose interest.
And I suppose, was it name calling or what kind of bullying was it?
No, it's exclusion bullying.
Yeah.
That's a new type of bullying, Barry. It's where one particular child is excluded from other children.
Yeah, and you say it's a new type of bullying, but is it something that's becoming more and more frequent?
Well, bullying all over, I would say, Barry, is becoming more common. This kind of bullying, I never heard tell of it, this exclusion bullying, this is the way John was affected. But by March, April last year, John was withdrawn and he was grumpy and distant, and we had no idea why he was like this. And children by nature, it's hard to get them to open up and it's hard to get them to talk. And we really were at our wits' end. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know what was wrong with our child. And by May then, we discovered it was bullying that was causing the problem. And how that came across was I'm a walker. I walk 3 miles a day, maybe walk 5 or 6 miles there on a Saturday or a Sunday. And I asked John, because he had quit his dancing, I asked John, would he like to go for the odd walk? And John, hesitantly, he said, OK, I'll go for the odd walk. He started off walking a day a week with me. And as we walked, we chatted and talked. And I felt like I hadn't to interrogate John, that John opened up to me. And it was over a period of 2 months I discovered the bullying.
And John, suppose we'll just ask you, what was it about the walking that allowed you to open up?
It just made me feel free that I had nobody like interrogating me, and I could just say whatever I wanted.
And I suppose that's that people always say, exercise promotes positive mental health. So
it
this does. Is...
And I think it relieved the stress, Barry. John was under huge stress, and he was upset and annoyed. And I feel when we put on the runners and the raincoat and we hit the roads around Donegal, like it's all mountain roads, forestry roads, we would walk. And I felt that he really, really opened up. And people say that walking releases endorphins in the brain. That's a good feel factor. And it definitely, definitely worked for John. It might not work for every child, but it worked for John.
And then when eventually did you get back into the Irish dancing?
He never got into it.
No,
you
never I got back to it again. Since.
And will you go back to it?
There is a possibility I might go back.
Yeah, and suppose that Irish dancing would be good exercise too.
Oh, Irish dancing's brilliant exercise. John spent 5 years dancing around the kitchen floor, going to classes 3 days a week. Every opportunity John got, John was dancing.
Yeah, and how did you get into it?
Well, I liked dancing when I was a younger child, and that's what I always wanted to do.
And did you see things like maybe watch videos of the Riverdance and stuff?
Yeah, well, John would have watched, he had videos or DVDs, and he watched it like on the laptop, and he would have known Gavin from dancing and Dervla Lennon. You knew Dervla, John?
Yeah, Dervla, in my very first place that I got, Dervla Lennon gave that to me.
Right.
In Sligo.
How many did you dance with that then, John?
45.
That was a 45, great boost, Barry, yeah. To dance with 45 and Dervla, give him first place.
Yeah, that's just kind
that
of
was
just
huge.
Shows you how
huge.
Good you must have been as well. Yeah. Well, hopefully you can get back into the dancing, yeah. I suppose.
It's not ruled out, Barry, the dancing's not ruled out. It was just stopped because he lost interest in everything. His grades at school slipped, everything slipped because of the bullying.
Because of the bullying. But suppose the positive thing here is that you have beat the bullies, you're out walking. Yeah. Hopefully you get back to the Irish dancing. And suppose how much walking do you continue to do? This has become a hobby almost.
Barry, at the moment we're walking about 20 miles a week. You know, come summer we intend to go back to our hill walk and our mountain climbing. We'll climb Errigal again this year. We did it last year. We climbed Barnes last year and we climbed Knocknarea, and we're going to do Crowpatrick this year. When we climbed Barnes last year, I said to the kids it was a mountain, and they corrected me and they said no, Barnes was only a hill. So I can only say that we climbed one hill and two mountains last year.
It doesn't look like a hill when you're driving past it.
No, I mean you're halfway up, but definitely not.
Yeah, and I suppose John's story then was in the Donegal News and Nicky Bradley's The Fighter column, and the reaction to it has been...
Oh, it was huge. It was huge, Barry. The amount of people we had texting, ringing, messaging. Well, I believe people wrote to Nicky and the editor of the Derry People Donegal News. It's just huge. I had people ringing me, adults, saying that when they were bullied as a child, it still affected them to this day, which is very sad.
Yeah, and hopefully maybe people who were in the same sort of situation can take from this that you can beat bullying.
Yeah, if you can find a way to open up and speak, that you know, John has come out the other end, and thank God he has.
Yeah.
We're delighted.
It's great to have you in the studio. We'll just take a commercial break and hopefully we'll get to speak to Gavin, but we'll take a break here first. Okay, you're welcome back to the Weekend Edition. Currently on the show, we've got John and Margaret Callaghan. They've been telling us a story. John was bullied. He was an Irish dancing enthusiast. Because he was bullied, he got very down. He gave up his dancing. But recently, they've started walking. He started becoming more positive. And he's been telling us how he beat the bullies. And the story was actually in the Donegal News. And there's been a great reaction to this. And I suppose one of the people who reacted to this, Margaret, was Irish dancer Gavin O'Ferry.
It was, yeah. We got a letter from Gavin talking about John and the bullying and how it affected him also as a young child. And it was inspirational, Barry. It was just brilliant to get a letter from somebody like Gavin.
Yeah, and we've got Gavin on the line. Now, Gavin, good morning.
Good morning, Barry. Good morning, Margaret. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Gavin.
Good morning, Gavin.
Okay, just for our listeners who don't know who Gavin is, Gavin O'Ferry, you're a successful actor, you're a TV presenter, you're a model based in LA, California, but you grew up in Gwydor. Gavin, suppose, first of all, how did you come across John's story?
Actually, it was online, so I actually read the Donegal News all the time online, so it was just by chance I came across actually John's story, so it just had a chord with me straight away. So I just decided to reach out to John and just give him a little bit of support.
Just what struck you by this story?
Well, it actually was quite similar to my own story, actually growing up in Gwydor, just being doing that Irish dancing. So it's just something different for guys. You know, if you're doing dancing, if you're doing acting, if you're doing anything out of the norm that's not typical with actually Gaelic football or soccer, the other guys just seem to kind of attack you in a way where they're drawn to you, actually. So that sort of way it kind of gets you bullied a lot more than the norm. So and with that, by reading John's story, that's what kind of same similarities. So.
And then you reached out to John?
I reached out to John then, yeah. I thought it would just be a great idea for me to reach out to him since I kind of dealt with the same experience myself. And then I was able to progress and go on and do things regardless of the bully. So I thought I'd reach out to John and just give him a little bit of support.
And John is with us. John, what did you think when Gavin contacted you? It must have been impressive, or you must have been privileged.
I was very surprised. I didn't think he'd ever write to me. It was a very inspirational letter.
Yeah, and Gavin, you have inspired him, and suppose he's been telling us how you beat the bullies, and it's a great story.
It's a fantastic story. I'm just very happy for him now that he was able to overcome that. So any support at all from anybody, you know, is great. So anything we can do, we will.
And suppose, what message would you have to anyone who is going through something similar to John?
Anybody out there at all that's been bullied, like similar to myself, is just stay strong. Like, remember, there's always somebody there to help you. You're never alone. And always just stay strong to yourself and do what you love the most and not worry about what they're doing. I know sometimes it can be difficult and you will be down and you will get depressed, but there's always help there. So always look for it and always reach out.
I suppose, Margaret, you must have been very impressed when Gavin contacted your son, John.
I was absolutely delighted. I was just shocked. I couldn't believe it. We have known and followed Gavin from the Celebrity Jigs and Reels right through to his programme on TG4. And for somebody like Gavin to take the time to write to John, I mean, it just meant the world to John. It meant the world to all of us. It was just brilliant. And we couldn't thank you enough, Gavin, for that.
You're very welcome, Margaret.
And I suppose, Gavin, John has been telling us he's never got back into Irish dancing. I suppose we're going to be urging him to try and get back at it.
Well, the thing is, with Irish dancing, it can always creep back up on you no matter what, John. So, just like myself, I never thought I would get back into Irish dancing at all. And there you go, I was doing Celebrity Jigs and Reels. And then here I am now, I'm actually touring the States right now. I'm in Ohio this morning. It's 6:30 in the morning here in Ohio. And it's snowing like crazy. But I'm here for VIP dance. So I have 700 numbers of dancers actually going on stage within the next half hour, so I'm going to be flat out.
And would you consider getting back into it, John, you've been saying?
There's a possibility I could get back into it. It's not ruled out.
Yeah, and I suppose with the walking, you've probably noticed your fitness levels.
Our fitness levels, yeah. Or John's fitness levels, were always up there because of the dancing. And both of us, I have to say, we're well fit now, the two of us.
That's it. It brings about positive thinking. And would you agree with that, Gavin? No, that fitness and your health, it brings about positive thinking, and it's a good way to beat bullying.
Well, it's a good way to beat bullying as well. You know, getting outside into the fresh air, clearing the head. So that's something I would do at myself at home. So being by the ocean, there was a good way to get away from everything and just take time just to think on your own. So, and even if you're getting out there and doing the exercise, why not extra help?
Yeah, and obviously the walking, John's going to be something you're going to keep at, yeah?
Yeah, I'll keep doing it for the rest of my life, definitely.
Yeah, and I suppose you're listing the mountains and the hills you've been doing. You're going through them rightly.
We are. We have a list for this year, and 2019 we're aiming for the Camino de Santiago in Spain. We're going to do 100 kilometres of that when John is 16. So we'll be building up over the next couple of years to do that. So there's a plan in place.
you're going to do the Santiago. Yeah. Now, that's impressive. Yeah, I remember watching a film about that, actually. The Way.
Yeah, Martin Sheen. Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah,
something I would look to do myself sometime. Yeah. You must be looking forward to that, John.
I'm really looking forward to it.
And how did the idea to do that come about?
Well, we set a few goals now this year. Like I said, it's Mount Errigal again. We've already done it with Jason Black, and we'll do it again this year. We're going to do Crowpatrick, and we're going to do Muckish. And then we wanted a long-term goal. So we had seen the film, The Way, as you say, and that's going to be our long-term goal. Both of us were just totally inspired by the film. We've read books and looked it up online, and it's definitely the way we want to go. 100 kilometres will be achievable for both of us at that stage.
And that 100 kilometres, it'll
be 20 kilometres a day.
That's tight yeah. going. Like,
oh no, out of every confidence, Barry.
We'll
be well able.
And what's the aim? Is it going to be just for people to know about what he's doing, or is it going to be for charity? Or
yeah, well, when the time comes, we're not doing that for 4 years. When the time comes, we'll definitely collect for a charity.
It's
definitely.
Not until 4 years.
Yeah.
Until
yeah. When John is 16, he's too young. I wouldn't take him out there yet. But definitely in 4 years' time, he'll be.
You'll have plenty of practice. Yeah. And at 4 years' time, you'll be dancing your way along.
Well, hopefully, yeah. He hasn't ruled out the Irish dancing. That's definitely there on the back burner. He just quit it when things got too bad. He lost interest in everything, and that, unfortunately, was one of the things that took a hit. His schoolwork took a big hit too, but that's all up and running and going good again, so...
And yet, John, I suppose, how do you feel now? You're feeling a lot more positive, school's going better. You must be feeling good.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot happier. My grades are going up again, and... I just feel a load happier.
It's great to hear. And Gavin, it's great to hear that he's back to himself.
It's fantastic. I'm delighted to hear he's back to himself. And better now, he can push forward and become whatever he wants.
Yeah, and you
never
were saying,
mind the bullies.
You were saying too, Margaret, that a lot of national papers have actually contacted yourself, so hopefully this can inspire other people.
Well, that's the idea, Barry. The Irish Daily Star ran the story. Woman's Way are actually running the story next week, and it's going to be from John's point of view. That's John. Would he write the story? Like I say, Nicky Bradley has been fantastic. Nicky has covered the story twice. That's the Donegal people. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. It's a good end and a bad start.
Yeah, and John, you must be looking forward to writing the article for the Irish Daily Star.
It is written. That has been published.
Written. Oh, it has been published.
Yeah, and he has written the article for Woman's Way, and that'll be in next week's edition.
Oh, right, I must check those out. And much reaction to the Irish Daily Star one?
Yeah, huge messages, phone calls, texts. Yeah, huge.
And suppose any messages stand out or no?
Well, we actually, the Donegal News got a letter from a woman in Westport. She was a retired principal from a school, and she wrote a letter in to the editor of the paper. She really associated with John's story. I suppose she would have come across bullying as her role as a school principal. And her letter was just fantastic. She wished us all the best of luck, and she said John was brilliant to come forward, which he is. And plenty of people. There's a huge amount of people, Barry.
Yeah, and there's just some text messages coming in. Good luck to John and Margaret from Johnny and Megan, Emily, Oisín and Noah. We're very proud of you.
That's my husband and the other four kids at home.
Yeah, oh, so they're listening. And best of luck to John and his mum from Orla Lyons. So, and just to all the messages saying best of luck. It's a nice story. Fair play to you for beating the bullies. So there's a lot of messages coming in there.
That's great. That's great. Thanks to everybody. And thanks to Nicky for originally writing the story. Thanks to Gavin for talking to us from America. I know, Gavin, you have a busy day ahead of you. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Gavin.
Yeah, Gavin, thanks for joining us on the show.
Not at all. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Gavin.
Gavin, and fair play to Gavin joining us from America. You must be...
Oh, absolutely thrilled, Barry. Yeah. Listen, he's delighted. A legend. He's a legend. He's way up there with the best of them.
Yes, but I wouldn't know much about Irish dancing, but you would have knew Gavin, as you were saying. John, you would have known him. So that must getting that call from him must have been
Getting the letter, Barry. I mean, we always knew who he was. Like, you know, and he's an inspirational man. Like, he's a Donegal man. Like, you know, and he's the best.
One of the best dancers around.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He's a fine dancer too.
Yeah. Well, so hopefully, John, you'll get back into the dancing, and hopefully the Camino is going to be a big thing. That's
Camino will be a big thing. And Barry, like I was saying to you earlier, John is permanent hearing loss in both ears, and it left life very difficult. He didn't speak until he was over five.
He's had surgery twice. He's due for surgery again before he starts secondary school in September. So life was a struggle in his early years, you know, and this kind of knocked the stuffing out of him. But he's back up and he's running and he's excited and life is good again.
That's good. Yeah. You're going well.
Yeah. So going good again.
Good. John, Margaret, thanks for joining us on the show.
Barry, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Still in love with you. You know my heart has always been forever true. Still in love with you. The way my heart beats when you walk into the room. You know how to pull my strings and all the things that suck me in. You know how to make it right every hour of every day and night. I'm still in love with you. You know my heart has always been forever true. I'm still in love with you. The way my heart beats when you walk into the room. You know how to drive me wild. The only one that's kept me on cloud nine. I never wanna say goodbye. From now on I'm always by your side. I'm still in love with you. You know my heart has always been forever true. I'm still in love with you. My heart beats when you walk into the room. La 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 la. Still in love with you. Know my heart has always been forever true. Still in love with you. The way my heart beats when you walk into the room. Still in love with you. You know my heart has always been forever true. Still in love with you. My heart beats when you walk into the room.
That's Paul Casey there, still in love with you. That's from his new album, Somebody I'm Not. Now in the studio, we've got Mark Black from The Trips, with Kate O'Callaghan, singer-songrafter, Declan McClafferty from In Their Thousands, and also along with Kate O'Callaghan, we've got Seamus Devaney. Yeah, guys, welcome into the studio.
Thank you very much.
If you just come a bit closer to the microphones there, and then I'll be able to talk to you. Now, you're here to tell us about your new project, Andromedia Artisans. Tell us what it's about.
Andromeda Artisans.
Yeah. Andromeda Artisans.
Yeah.
Need to get that right.
I know. There you go. Andromeda Artisans. We're an artist collective based here in Donegal with very strong ties to California. And we've set ourselves up to kind of work together and to help each other out in the big old music industry, and we've been working at it now for probably the last few years.
And what are you doing over in California? What's the link there?
Well, California is where our company is based, and our main goal is to bring the message of our songs and to bring our songs out into the market. So our company is actually based over in California. Most of the artists currently are based in Donegal, the initial round of artists that are in our collective. And We've been over to California a few times, just on business trips, helping to get a few things set up and doing some work for the company and organising ourselves more than anything else.
And where did this idea come from then?
We've been working with a business consultant as a partner in the business with us from Laguna Beach in Los Angeles, and he's got some background in the music industry as well as in many other aspects of business setups, and together we've been kind of we've come up with a new kind of an innovative model for getting music and releasing music into the industry using digital technologies and creative technologies.
So just to explain how you're going to use this, just for anybody listening.
Well, we're going to use the internet. For one, we're going to use new and old methods of distribution that are currently available to, the music industry is currently global at the moment. There's, with smartphones, with technology, it's available to most users, music buyers, audience, fans of music. They have access to music directly from their smartphone or their laptop, their iPad. For most artists, they can connect directly with their fan and audience, and it's the way the music industry is currently going at the moment. The days of the record labels, to a certain extent, are quite numbered.
Yeah, it seems to be that way. I suppose when you see Apple are looking at starting an online radio station, I think that's Zane Lowe left BBC Radio 1 to go to Apple. So it seems to be online radio is going to be the way forward. So you just mentioned that you're not a record label.
We're not a record label, no. We could be probably regarded as maybe perhaps a hybrid. There's elements of our company and our business that would be similar to a record label. But the collective itself is an artist-based collective. We, unlike a record label, we place the artist as the most important part of the music chain. The infrastructure that has been built up by record labels in the music industry is soaking a lot of artists' income, a lot of artists' profits for the previous few decades, and we intend to probably hopefully change that.
So who's part of this collective so far?
So far we've got In Their Thousands, Cato Callahan, Mark Black and the Trips. Yeah. We've got a local band called The Clans, yeah. Our Native State, Gabriel Pascal Blake, Sarah Cullen, Colour Sound and Brendan McGlynn.
So is a good few Donegal artists are signing up to this so far?
So far, mainly Donegal artists, yeah. Colour Sound are kind of based in Dublin, but Brendan's from Letterkenny, so we've got a bit of a Donegal connection there also.
What about someone or a band or a group who is interested in getting involved?
It's not really an open submission process currently at the moment. We're just in a startup process. However, we're not closing the door on any artist. We want to help as many artists as possible and as many musicians as possible. And when I say help, I also mean we want to help educate artists and musicians and empower them to be able to work for themselves in the music industry.
And suppose you'd be looking to help new artists get their music out there, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Donegal has been quite a hub for an incubation hub for quite a lot of new music and a lot of new talent and new artists at the moment, and you can tell by the amount of attention that's been, even record labels are looking towards Donegal and have been signing some younger artists and there's a lot of attention up here. There's a nice industry at the moment that's been growing. A lot of new music, a lot of original music, lots of new festivals, Swell Festival, for example. And lots of artists are starting to work together for the,
You mentioned the likes of the Swell Festival. That's the type of festival we're going to see grow and grow in County Donegal, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
And what you're talking about, new artists, are any new artists from the Northwest in this county have caught your eye recently?
Any of the artists in our collective, certainly, in Andromeda.
Yeah. And suppose when we have you here, we might as well take some music.
Okay.
Mark, Kate, Declan and Seamus, whenever you're ready.
Yeah, we're going to do one of Kate's songs. So take it away, Kate.
This one's called Feel. The desire. Declan, Kate, Seamus, thanks. It was brilliant. Suppose during the song, there's people texting in, where can I get to see these guys?
Everybody's kind of touring at the moment. Declan, you guys got some gigs come up in their thousands. Do you want to?
There's actually someone that's just texting. Can you ask Declan in their thousands, what are they asked? When are they playing?
We're playing on the 21st of March in Kildaff and McGrory's. That's the next show we have coming up. Really, I suppose we're kind of working way behind the scenes, getting ready to start releasing stuff in the next couple of months through Andromeda. And we've shot some music videos, and we've kind of been away for a while, but we won't be away for too much longer. Everything's falling into place.
But is anybody interested, March and McGrory's?
March and McGrory's, 21st of March.
And Katie, any gigs coming up?
Yes, well, I host a monthly show called The Lark and the Robin in Inishowen in Kildaff, and they happen on a monthly basis. You can find us online on Facebook if you just put in The Lark and the Robin.
The Lark and the Robin.
And also my own gigs, Cate O'Callaghan gigs, will be listed on my website, which is just cateocallaghan.com.
Yeah, okay, guys, thanks for joining us. I wish we could actually have more, but it's approaching the end of the show. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the show today. We'll be back next week. Thanks to Yvonne for producing. But that's all from the weekend edition. We'll be back same time next week, 10 to 12.